Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Tom Rutkowski, who is the president of Innovative Retirement Strategies, and we'll be talking about using life insurance for retirement planning. Tom, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, so give us a little bit of your background and what got you into financial services back when you started, because sometimes when people go to the second grade, you know, career day, maybe the kids are saying policeman, fireman, firefighter, and things like that, but maybe it's not necessarily, I want to be in financial services. So at what point did you think that might be a fun career?
It was right after I moved to Florida about 10 years ago. I had enough of the corporate world, and I left Wisconsin, left my job, came down to Florida, and my original plan was to buy a sailboat and take the family cruising full time. But my family had different ideas, so we did some real estate investing, put my money to work, and then I just decided I needed to do something. And I always wanted to be in investments ever since I was in grad school, so I saw on Fox News in the morning that Northwestern Mutual was hiring, so I reached out to them, and the rest is history. But it took about a year of bouncing around, not without any kind of goal, before I realized, you know what, I can do this on my own, and I formed my own agency. And just real quickly, I mean, what got me into what I do is just realizing that I can build a maximum overfunded life insurance policy that has way more cash value than what you would expect in a life insurance policy. And you can put riders on the policy to make that cash value accessible. Yeah. So that kind of put me into a little unique niche specializing with real estate investors.
Well, I want to get into that, and because I think that one thing that you touched on is the word life insurance, and I think that throws a lot of people for a loop to go, no, I'm good, go run away, you know, and they think of life insurance typically as what we hear about, you know, get $8 trillion worth of coverage for $10, and you see those TV ads, and they think of term life. But you're talking about a really specialized permanent life, and even permanent life insurance, there's many, many aspects that people need to understand to get it structured the right way. You can't just go Google, give me this kind of policy, check, and there it is, because you're going to miss out on things, right? So talk a little bit about the differences there and then some of the ways that things must be structured.
Right. So whenever you're using a life insurance policy for retirement planning, you want a policy that's what I call maximum overfunded. So it's you're paying the most that you legally can for the least amount of death benefit.
Yeah.
Now the life insurance policies that most people buy are minimally funded. I mean, if you want $1 million of death benefit, you typically want to get that for as little or low a price as you can possibly get it. So when the insurance company is pricing out that policy, you know, they're looking at, you know, what is the least amount of premium we need to bring in order to satisfy the obligations of that policy. I mean, that the policy will perform for the life of the insured.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about the opposite. It's like, what is the most that you can pay for a policy with that kind of death benefit? And in the policies that I write, the cash value is typically about 85% plus of the premium. You know, so when most of my clients see the illustrations and they see just how much cash value they have, they're blown away. I mean, they had always heard from all the people that, you know, hate on life insurance, like, oh, it's going to take years and years to build up cash value and it's just not worth the money. And then they're looking at an illustration that's showing, you know, 90% cash value, because the illustration is showing the growth of the first year in there. So it's typically about a 90% ratio of the premium to the cash value.
So you can't look at things at surface level, like premium, because in someone's mind, they're hearing, oh, here's the premium for my life insurance. Oh my word. What? It's that amount? No. But in reality, you have to look at what it's doing for you. And you brought up real estate investing, and I spent 10 years in the mortgage industry. So let me see if I'm using this example correctly. You know, when you look at the 30-year mortgage and you see your monthly payment, so minuscule of the payment for the first many years goes to principal. It's mostly interest. And then it starts getting more and more. And then maybe by year 15, you're paying a bunch toward the principal. And then toward the end, now you're really, really paying more principal. But what you're describing is you're getting more bang for your buck from day one because of how you're structuring it. And more of your premium is going to cash value than just hearing the word, oh, your premium will be X. It's not a cost. It's an investment.
Exactly.
Okay, good. I was hoping that I was explaining that the right way. And so now let's think about something else. Most of the time people think about, you know, life insurance as really death insurance. You know, you die and it pays out and okay, there's good protection for my family. But you've been talking about living benefits. And so cash value, when I hear cash value, I think about, you know, freedom, flexibility, money, access to cash. That's a good living benefit. What other living benefits are there with these kinds of policies?
Well, I mean, in terms of living benefits, I mean, all 50 states have language written into their state statutes that require that insurance companies must make loans to their policy owners secured by the cash value of that policy. Okay. And then the statutes also go on to say that if you don't pay the interest, then the interest shall be added onto the loan balance. Now, in the actual statutes, it's much more legalese than what I did. I just put it into layman's terms. But those two things taken together form the basis of a life insurance retirement plan, meaning you can design income, like loans that the insurance company will give you every single year that you will never pay a dime of interest on for the rest of your life.
Because in reality, it's just decreasing the death benefit, but you're just getting the money now to use, and it's just kind of adding the interest on the back end.
Well, to put it in proper perspective, it's not reducing the death benefit technically. The death benefit is still there. It's just that when you die, all the loans that the insurance company gave you have to be paid off.
Right.
So they're paying themselves back from the death benefit, and your beneficiaries will get the rest. But what makes a life insurance retirement plan so unique is the level of income that you can get. I mean, if you do financial interviews and you're familiar with the financial industry, there's what's called the 4% rule. Meaning if you have $1 million in your retirement savings, then 4% or roughly $40,000 a year would be the safe withdrawal rate to not risk running out of money before you die. Okay. And nowadays, most advisors think it's actually less than 4% because of the volatility of the market. Well, if you ever look at a life insurance illustration and you look at how much income is calculated, you know, if we're just trying to figure out what's the most income that you can take for the rest of your life without running out of collateral that you can borrow against, it works out to be more like 7 or 8%. Hmm. So dollar for dollar, you can get twice as much income from the money that you're putting into a life insurance policy's cash value than what you can from traditional investments. And that is like just the missing link. You know, even most other agents, I don't think really like understand that. Like they're looking at an illustration that's showing, you know, $1 million of cash value and $80,000 of income. And they're not seeing that 80,000 is twice as much income that you could get from $1 million sitting in an IRA. In fact, in an IRA, the 4%, that 40,000 hasn't even been taxed yet.
Yeah.
So you take taxes off of that, then now you're down to 30,000.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's more like 2 to 3 times the income from the same amount of money.
And so this is a vehicle like we're talking about here for retirement planning. And you just mentioned, you know, IRAs, and there's other things you could put money in, annuities and things. But this is one of the key pieces of, you know, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. I know that. But this is one of the key pieces that people should really sit up and pay attention to for these kinds of policies, because, boy, that calculation there is staggering. Being able to access it at any time is amazingly flexible. And then talk a little bit about the taxes, because you mentioned being taxed. What about the growth within this when you think about cash value and it growing? Or is that being taxed all the way through?
Not even a little bit. Wow. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a life insurance policy. So really it's the insurance company investing their reserves to essentially, you know, so that the policy owner is saving up the death benefit themselves over the lifetime of the insured. I mean, that's really what the cash value is. It's that savings mechanism, because the life insurance company knows they're going to have to pay claims someday. So if that person lives to be their normal life expectancy, the cash value can pay the death benefit. So since it's a financial product, it's not an investment to the policy owner. So all that growth occurs tax-free. Wow. And then when you start to take income, because you're borrowing money from the insurance company with your cash value as collateral, it's a loan and you don't pay income taxes on loans. So that's all coming back to you tax-free. You know, most life insurance agents, I mean, the preferred vehicle is annuities, right? Annuities are easy to sell. You put money into it, you're going to have a stream of income guaranteed for the rest of your life. Life insurance retirement plans are a little bit more complicated. People don't get life insurance. But, you know, if you take the time to understand it, you'll get financially rewarded with 2 to 3 times the income that same amount of money would have got you in an annuity.
Wow. And giving you flexibility all along the way. So that's huge. And then also, what about with some things like annuities and IRAs, when you reach a certain age, you're forced to pull out a certain amount of money. So with these kind of insurance policies, is that the case where you have, what if you don't want to pull money out? Are you forced to?
No, not at all. That wouldn't apply to a life insurance policy.
That's another.
So you can choose to use it, or you can just not take it at all and leave it as part of the death benefit.
So if we were to kind of take all these points we're talking about, put it on this document, I'm envisioning bullet point number one, bullet point number two to three, all these benefits. And sometimes when you see that, it's like, okay, you know, where's the shoe going to drop, right? Because it's all this good stuff. And you mentioned the word volatility a minute ago. And that makes me think of risk, and you could lose money. Like in the market, markets can go up, down, and all around. Well, within the cash value within these policies, is there risk? Can you lose everything? Can you lose money? Talk a little bit about the stability in there as well.
Okay. Well, life insurance companies offer guarantees, but I mean, at the end of the day, what the guarantee really is the worst case interest rate that the insurance company expects over the life of the insured. I mean, like that's the rate that they're willing to commit to. And frankly, the regulators are holding the insurance company's feet to the fire to maintain.
Wow.
So that they've got money to pay the claims. But the insurance company invests all of the premium that they collect into primarily the bond markets. You know, so they buy bonds, treasuries, preferred stocks, mortgage-backed securities. They make loans on real estate. So for the most part, the insurance company is earning interest. And, you know, you kind of have an idea of what your policy is going to do just based on the debt market. You know, if interest rates are rising, your cash value will do better. If interest rates are falling, your cash value, your dividends are probably going to go down. But, you know, they do maintain that guarantee so they can withstand a few years of, you know, if rates get below their guaranteed rate, they can still pay that and stay financially viable.
So if I'm hearing you correctly, when I'm...
Did that answer your question?
It did. And let me clarify, because if this is, if I'm understanding that statement correctly... When I'm using this as an investment vehicle, I can rest assured that I'm not going to lose my principal, and I'm guaranteed some rate of return of X percent, whatever that is. We won't get into numbers. It doesn't matter. But, you know, most investments, when you hear stocks, bonds, mutual funds, whatever, it's like, okay, let's hope the markets do good because it could go up and down. With this, you're not going to lose your money. and you're going to be guaranteed at least a return of X.
Exactly. So you just mentioned, that bonds can go down in value. Bond prices can go down in value. But if you buy a bond and you hold it to maturity, that $1,000 bond is going to pay, let's just say a 4% coupon for 10 or 20 years, however long the term is. So if you hold it to maturity, you're going to get exactly what they promised,
yeah,
providing the company goes out of bankrupt. And that's really what it is with life insurance companies, because for the most part, they're matching up their bond durations with their liabilities.
Got it.
So they're holding bonds for the long term and typically, capturing the actual yield that they purchased at. So they're not subject to that bond price flexibility as if you were trading in bonds. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, don't worry about the markets, volatility up and down, just sit tight for the long term, because the returns are there and you're not going to lose your money. And yes, it's tied to the bond market, which means it's stable. So when I'm hearing all this talk about insurance and all the benefits we're talking about, that might be for, the husband. What about the spouse or the wife, or what about the husband? Would you set up this type of a plan for both and have some death benefit and this cash accumulation for both parties?
Absolutely. And frankly, when I have conversations on life insurance retirement plans with people, oftentimes they start off viewing it as almost an investment.
Yeah.
But I have to remind them, it's like, this is life insurance, so you shouldn't just have a policy on yourself with your wife as a beneficiary. You're going to suffer some loss if your wife passes. So you should put a policy on each of you, put a policy on the children, and in aggregate, they will all. It's better to put $50,000 a year on two people than $100,000 a year on just one. At the end of your life, when you're taking income, it's going to come out to be the same amount of money.
Yeah. Neat. So all of this sounds wonderful and great, but I think that sometimes, people would be skeptical and go, I don't jump for these newfangled ideas, but in reality, this has been around for hundreds of years, right? This is where banks put their money in policies like this. So this isn't not anything new. It's proven and age old.
It is. You're right.
Well, I think that.
But most people just don't hear about it, yeah, right? Financial advisors talk about annuities. They talk about stocks, things that, they don't talk about life insurance as a retirement plan.
Why would that be? Is it just
a shame?
Yeah, because they don't want to get caught up in the stigma of that industry, or they just don't have it to offer, so they don't talk about it.
I really don't know. Very often the question I get is like, why isn't everybody doing this, right?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Who knows?
So I don't know. Annuities are a very easy sale.
Yeah. Yeah. But all the benefits here, and again, like we all know, you never put all your eggs in one basket, but this might be a big basket to consider. Right. So what could it look like for you? What could this look like to plan and benefit your retirement? So Tom, if someone is listening to this going, boy, this was kind of ticking off some of these boxes here that sound really intriguing, what's the best way they can learn more and reach out and connect with you?
Well, I have a website and I have a YouTube channel. So if you just Google my name or my company, Innovative Retirement Strategies, or The Double Play, just the words The Double Play, you will find me online.
Excellent.
But otherwise, I think in the show notes, we'll have a link to everything and a link to my calendar so you can book an appointment, and a free ebook that you can download.
Excellent. Well, Tom, thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure having you on.
It was my pleasure as well. Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.